You know what? All of you say, I love the Lord. Just say it. I love the Lord. Like I told you Wednesday night, all of you just testify. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what? He is good to us, is he not? You know what? We're going to be over in Acts, the fourth chapter. Bear with me here a little bit. We'll read the last two verses here in a little bit. The Bible is full of people we could pattern our life after. Do you believe that? Oh, I know it is. Of course, our main objective should be to what? To pattern our lives after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? That should be our goal. You know, we're not perfect, but we're supposed to try to be as perfect as we can be. Try to be as Christ-like as we can be. So yes, we should try to emulate Christ and do everything we can in His life. But there are many others in this Bible that we can learn and benefit from. You know, as we read this Bible, read down through it, and we see all the ones, all the great heroes of the Bible, there's many in there that we could learn, that we could pattern our lives after if we really wanted to do it. You know that? Abraham, we should strive to have, listen to this, such a close relationship with God as Abraham did. We should strive to do that, that we too could be called a friend of God. Abraham was called that. You realize that? Abraham was called. We could strive to be like that. Or how about Queen Esther? All she ever did was, you know what? She was willing to stand up for whatever was right, no matter what it cost her. If you read that about her, you'll find that in her about her. She was willing to do that. So, you know, we could emulate Queen Esther. You know, you guys could do that. How about the Apostle Andrew? He was one of those who was willing, you know what, to tell others about Jesus. And you know what, who he got? He got his brother Peter to come and follow. Remember that? Andrew did that. Or how about Philip? You remember about Philip over in Acts? What did Philip do? He minded the Holy Spirit, did he not? And whenever that eunuch was going by, and instead he was called by the Spirit to go down by him and to expound to him the word that the eunuch was reading. And he did that. And guess what? That guy got saved and got baptized, did he not? Amen. No, we can strive to be that today. We can be that way. But tonight I want to talk to you and focus on another man. If more of us in this world would follow this man's example, I want you to know something. Our homes would be better. We could revolutionize our churches. Amen. And we could change our communities if we would take and be more like what this man was like. And I'll tell you, it is a pretty strong statement, isn't it? I'll tell you what, I think if you bear with me here, I think you'll agree with me on it. Let's turn to Acts 4, 36 and 37. And Josie, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. I want to read that again. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted as the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyrus. That's what I'm just going to read that part of it right there. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Father, as we come, Lord, this evening, I want to come again thanking you for the opportunity we have to stand before you tonight. I pray, Father, as the word goes out, Lord, that you would help us, Father, to put all things out of our mind and to put our focus upon you this evening, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd help us, Lord, to get the word out, to help it to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. Amen. You know what? In the New Testament, nicknames were pretty common. They were. Jesus named, what did he name James and John? He called them the sons of thunder, did he not? Because of their personalities. That's why Jesus did that. Well, you know what? We're going to look at a guy by the name of Barnabas tonight. And you know what his nickname was? Here was a man that, this person, by the way, his son was son of consolation, what it says there in the Bible. But that being interpreted was the son of encouragement. And I want to tell you something this evening. We need more people in this world that we live in to be encouragers, do we not? We're good about tearing down. We're good about all that stuff like that. But you know what? We have to be encouragers. And you know what? This Barnabas was an encourager, praise God. That's what he was. His real name, of course, was Joseph, but most of us know him as Barnabas if we read down through the Bible. Most of us, Barnabas was the kind of guy, listen to me, who would encourage people wherever he went. He was the type of person who would do everything within his power to cheer people up.
He was the type who would go out of his way to comfort someone who was in need. He was the kind of person who was willing to reach out a hand to someone who needed it. That's what Barnabas could do. And I'll prove my point here. He encouraged people to learn from their mistakes and to focus on their future. That's what Barnabas did. I'll tell you what, he became a strong leader in a church, and God used him. He used him with the ability to encourage people. He was a great encourager. I tell you what, I pray that God would help me to be more of an encourager. I don't know about anybody else in here, but if this sermon doesn't touch anyone else, it will touch Dave Long, because I hope and pray that I could become more of an encourager if I have not helped him. But some of those individuals that he encouraged went on to do great things in the Bible. They did. One of the men was a name by the name of Saul of Tarsus. You remember who he was? Yes, Barnabas. He was a very religious man, very religious and determined-minded man. That's what Saul was. But you know what? He hated Christians. And his main goal was to wipe out Christianity wherever he could. And Saul was determined to do that. We can read the Bible. We know about Saul. We know the story about Saul. Acts 8:3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committing them to prison. But as we know, someone got a hold of Saul, did they not? On the way to Damascus, we know the Lord appeared to him, struck him down, struck him blind, and you know what? After that, it wasn't old Saul anymore. You know what? He became Paul, did he not? So we know what happened to him. But that's not all the story. As Paul Harvey used to say, now for the rest of the story. You may remember that part of the story. Paul went to Damascus after that. Remember that? His sight was restored, and he began to preach the gospel, and he preached it with power. The Bible tells us that those that heard him were so astounded at what he was doing that he went from persecuting the church to where he was preaching Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Jews that were in Damascus got so upset with him that he was preaching the same Jesus that he was trying to disclaim that, you know what, they wanted to kill him. Remember that? They wanted to kill. They wanted to kill Saul, or Paul at the time. They wanted to kill him. It goes on to tell us in Acts 9:22, he grew more and more powerful to the point that he baffled the Jews, that he baffled them. The Jews became so angry they wanted to kill him, but he escaped and went to Jerusalem. Now, I'll get to the point about Barnabas here in a little bit. When he got to Jerusalem, the first thing that he wanted to do was he wanted to talk to Peter and the rest of the apostles. But what did they say? They didn't want anything to do with him then. They were afraid of him. They didn't want anything to do with Saul. They were afraid of him. And you know what? They refused to meet with him. They only knew the old Saul. They didn't know the new Paul. They didn't know the one that had been saved. And you know what? They were kind of judgmental about the situation. They didn't care to know him. I'll tell you, dude, that's what, whenever God changes somebody, let's not be skeptical about what God can do in a person's life. Let's not do that. I'll tell you what, if someone accepts Jesus Christ into their heart, they are a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven. Who are we to judge that? Yes, there are times in our life when there were some people, you know what, they just use church and just, I've mentioned that this morning, but praise God, there are people, the worst and the lowest out of life, who accept Jesus into their heart, and praise God, we need to praise Him for that. Because Jesus Christ can change people's lives. And Saul was changed. He was disappointed, they didn't want to believe with it. But in Acts 9:27 tells us that Barnabas, the son of encouragement, he was willing not only to meet Paul, praise God, he was also willing to stand up for Paul with the apostles. Barnabas, this son of encouragement, he didn't care what Paul's reputation was in the past. Praise God, he wanted to encourage him. And you know what Barnabas did? He went to him. And in a way, he put his arms around him and encouraged him. And praise God, we got the biggest part of the New Testament because of that, do we not? We do because of the encouragement. But he was also willing to go to bat for him with the apostles. We know that also. Barnabas stood up and he talked to Peter and them. He was willing to put his own reputation on the line to talk to the apostles. Barnabas played a huge role in Saul becoming Paul, a great missionary man, a great one to establish churches. Barnabas played a great role in that. Now, let's go on to the 11th chapter of Acts. And Barnabas again, it said the Holy Spirit began to move on the Gentiles. Now you folks, you better be praising God for this one. Because the Holy Spirit started to move on the Gentiles. And pray God you can raise your hand in here tonight. Unless you're a Jew, you're a Gentile here tonight. And I want you to know the Holy Spirit started to move on them. And they began to get saved. And God began to move in them. But you know the apostles were skeptical again. And guess who they sent to figure it out? They sent Barnabas. Praise God. They sent the son of encouragement to go out and make sure that the Gentiles got what was right. And you know what? We're living witnesses tonight that the Gentiles got what God had sent. Praise God. We are the ones tonight. We are the ones that Barnabas went. And you know, he got there and he said, yes, they are. And he went and he got Paul and he brought him back. And he stayed a year there teaching and preaching it to them and to show them in the ways of God and the ways of things that the church needed to do. Praise God for Barnabas being the encourager that he was. I'll tell you what. You want an example. Do we want an example of Paul? Yeah. We emulate Jesus. We should. But praise God, there are people in the Bible. We need to be encouragers. We need to be the ones to go out into the highways and the byways and to encourage them to come in and to show them that there is hope. That there is hope. You know what? We as Gentiles, one time we were without hope, were we not? The Bible tells us that. We were without hope. But praise God, God saw enough and had enough for us that He sent His Son to die on the cross, not only for the Jew, but for the Gentile. And praise God. We tonight, we can accept Him as our Savior. Who? They said Barnabas arrived. It was evident to him that the Gentiles had got it. And praise God, I am thankful for that. And he went back and he found Saul. But I'll tell you, there was a whole lot of encouraging going on. You know that? They may have taught. They may have done what all they did down through that year, but I'll bet you there was a whole lot of encouraging going on. Amen? Because you know what? I can just believe Paul. And he said, yeah, yeah. He said, I can just see old Barnabas going up to him and putting his arms around him and saying, yeah, yeah, you know what? Yeah, this thing is the Holy Spirit that you've got in your life. And you know what? It's encouraging and showing you what to do. Don't get discouraged by it. Don't get downhearted. Praise God. You're going to make it through if you just keep on going. I can see him just patting people on the back. I can see him just shaking hands. I can see him doing all that because he is an encourager. He's one that does that stuff. And I'll tell you what, we need more people like Him today. We need more like Him, don't we? We do that. Another place was over in the 15th chapter of Acts. And that one there was whenever old John Mark. You remember who he was? He was a young missionary who went out with Paul on one of his missionary journeys. What happened? He became so discouraged that he left and left Paul by himself. Wherever he did this, Paul had all that upon himself. Had it all upon himself. And you know what? Paul got pretty upset with John Mark. You remember the story? It's found over in Acts 15 chapter. But you know what? What happened was that he got with Barnabas, and Barnabas tried to tell Paul on the next journey, he said, let's take John Mark with us. Paul didn't want nothing to do with that. As a matter of fact, it got so bad that him and Paul and Barnabas got into a little bit of a scuffle, and there was contention. Listen to this in Acts 15:39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas and Paul departed. But you know what? Barnabas didn't let that get him down. You know what he did? He went and grabbed old John Mark, and he went out on a missionary journey with him himself. And Paul grabbed Silas. You remember that? And they went out. So you know what happened? Praise God. God divided and then He added. And there were two missionary journeys going on. And praise God, the Word of God was spread to two places. And you know what happened on down the line? Old John Mark and Paul made up eventually and they got back together. And Paul seen the errors in his way. More is less to say. But praise God, I want to tell you something this evening. God sends people to encourage. And we need to be encouraged. We need to be more like Him. It ended up being glorified because God had two missionary journeys going on. Praise the Lord. John Mark became a strong leader in the church. He did that. The church of the 21st century desperately needs more benefices in it. It desperately needs that today. Who will reach out? Who will reach out to those who stumble and fall? I'll tell you what. I tell you this before. I believe this. So many times the church is so bad about kicking their own. So bad about killing their own. So bad about hurting them. Whenever people stumble forward, that's not the time for us to go and just drag them and put them all the rest of the way down. We need to bring them back. We need to encourage them. We need to try to get them back into God's house. If we don't, I tell you what, we're doing a disservice to God. We're doing a disservice to our church. We're doing a disservice to ourselves. But we need to try to be encouragers. Who's going to be that one to do that? Who's going to be put an arm around those people who are discouraged and depressed? Who's going to be the barbers to do it? We need people who will make it their mission to live their life and try to help other people live their life to the fullest. We need more people like that. We need it. Encourage those who need to be encouraged. I'll tell you what, we have to try to do that. I'll tell you this. There's several passages of Scripture. Over in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another. Build each other up. Just as in the fact you are doing. Just what you're doing. We need to encourage one another. Over in 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be prepared. In season, as correct, rebuke, encourage. With great patience and careful instruction. We are to do these things. We're supposed to be encouragers. And Titus 1:9, we must hold firmly to the trustworthy message that has been taught so that we can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Brothers and sisters, we can encourage if we just mind what God wants us to do. If we just do what the Word tells us, Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily, it tells us. Listen, there is not a day in our life that we cannot stand up and encourage someone. Am I right? I believe there is. I don't care whether it's your husband, whether it's your wife. I don't care if it's an aunt, an uncle, a neighbor, someone you meet on the street. I hear all you testifying here that how sometimes you'll meet people out and their heads are down and they'll be discouraged. And you say a word to them and you see how their countenance lifts up because you mentioned that, you know what? You love them and God loves them. We can encourage people daily. We can do that. We need to encourage those who are hurting. We need to try to encourage those who are down and who are hurting in this world. There's too many of them out there today. There's too many of them out there today that are hurting, that need encouragement from us. There's too many of them that are lonely that need encouragement from us. They not? We all know somebody that has lost a spouse or somebody that is so lonely in this world, and all they need is for somebody just to call them, or just to hug, give them a hug, or just tell them, listen, I love you, and God loves you. We need those who encourage those who have doubts. Listen, there's plenty of them out there in this world today that doubt whether God's power is real. There's plenty of them out there that doubt whether or not that God can truly do what God says that He can do. I'm here to tell you, we can be encouraged. We can tell them, yes, God is true and faithful in His Word. Yes, God can do what He says in His Word He can do. And yes, He has done things in my life, and He has done things in your life. You know, I tell you this about a testimony, and I mean this. There are people that you can testify to that I could never reach. Why? Because you have been through things, you've been down roads and paths where God has brought you from, that you can be the encouragement to those people that need to be done. Maybe I've never dealt with that, but I'll tell you what, there are people that have doubts, and we can be the encouragement to them that we need to be. We also need to be those to encourage those who have fallen. There's plenty who have come to church, and they come for a while, then they get out, and they go out here, and maybe you don't see them for a while, maybe you don't ever see them for years. But you know what? That should not stop us from encouraging, maybe writing them a card, maybe calling them and telling them, listen, I have missed you. Where have you been? And you know what? We can do that. We can be the Barnabas. And when we see him, we can put our arm around and say, you know what? We still love you. We still want you to church. Don't think the church is going to fall on you if you come to church. I had a guy tell me that one time. Then he came to church, and I told him, I said, listen, that ceiling's still there. I said, it's still there. It did not fall in. And pray. I'll tell you what, we can do that. We can be the conclusion that we need to be. We can be the encouragement that we need to be. Praise God this evening. You know what? Being surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted the son of consolation, or being the son of encouragement. I'll tell you what, he can be one that we can take and pattern our lives after. Can he not? He can be that. We can be an encourager. You can be an encourager on a daily basis. And praise God, I think we can do that. They come and get a song. I'm done.